glad to be with you again today, and I trust that you've had a great day in Christ, just experiencing the wonders of being grafted into His life and His sonship and His walk with the Lord. And I trust that today that the things that I share, the Holy Spirit will take and speak life to you so that there's a mighty expansion in your experience of this amazing reality of being in union with Christ. So let me read a few verses to you. I want to talk to you some about the way of life that Jesus lives. This is from Acts chapter 9, verse 2. So I'm going to read several verses. I've got my iPad here from Acts. And so-and-so asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, this is Paul, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So the Christians were referred to, before they were ever called Christians, they were primarily called people of the way. Another verse. In Acts chapter 19, verse 23, about that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. In Acts 24, verse 14, but this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, on and on and on. And in Acts chapter 24, verse 22, it says, but Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, so and so, and so and so. So all those verses, and there are others in Acts, refer to Christians as people of the way. That's interesting to me. That's fascinating to me, because I think it reflects the reality of the early church understanding that Christianity is about a person who's a new creation because they've now been joined to Jesus and they're participating in His life and His relationship with the Father and His anointing with the Holy Spirit and His walk with God. And that being joined to Him, they're now manifesting the way of life that Jesus lives. It's a different way of life, totally different than the flesh or the world. There's in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so Jesus talks about a way of life that He Himself lives. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is a way of life that Jesus lives, and He literally is the life that makes that happen. You with me? There's a way of life that Jesus lives, and Christ Himself is the one who lives that life, and He lives that life through us. Here's some really well-known scripture from Matthew chapter 7, and maybe what I'm sharing will throw some light on that. Because when I used to read these scriptures, they seem kind of intimidating, and but I think you're going to see that they're actually liberating in light of what I just said. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Now hear it again. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way, that word way, is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. There is a narrow gate, there is a narrow way that leads to life. And any other way of trying to live life than that narrow way is one of self-destruction. Now, that's the story of fallen mankind. That's the story of a Christian who's still living under the power and influence of the flesh, demanding their own way, demanding their way, and demanding that they're going to live life their way. It always leads to self-destruction. And so the Lord's dream for us, his dream always has been for us, is that we would be in union with Christ, experiencing all that he is and all that he has, and manifesting all that he is and all that he has, revealing his image and likeness. That's the story of God's heart. That's always been his dream. And Jesus came to rescue us from the way that is broad, that leads to destruction, the way of life that the flesh lives, that the way we live our life independent from him, doing our own thing, because it leads to destruction, self-destruction. And he so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would no longer perish. That could be translated, no longer self-destruct, no longer just be spoil their life, but would no longer perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life is not first and foremost about chronology. It's not about how long you live. It's about how you live. It's the life that Jesus lives. It's the life that Jesus lives, lived now by him through us. The eternal life that Jesus experiences and the eternal life that Jesus lives out through us. The life of heaven being lived out through us by him in the here and now. That's eternal life. And experiencing him personally in that way, that from our union with Christ. And so he came to rescue us from the way of self-destruction. And it's tragic how many Christians still live their lives daily, at least in part, in this self-destructive way. There's a narrow way. It is narrow, but that doesn't mean that it's hard. You with me? It's narrow because the only way that life works is the way that Jesus lives. That's what it means by narrow. When I used to read this, and I thought about this, meaning, oh, there's like this really strict life that you've got to live and you've got to get it just right. No, he's talking about there is a way of life that human beings were created to experience and manifest. And there's only one way of life that human beings were created to experience and manifest, and that's the life of God through Christ living in us. That's the narrow way. That's the narrow gate. And if you keep wanting to negotiate with God to have your own way, you're negotiating for the right to live in self-destruction at some level. And let me give you an example about this way of life that Jesus lives, because it is holy. Now, remember what the word holy means. The word holy literally means other or unique, but other. And so the life that Jesus lives is other than fallenness. It's other than brokenness. It's other than the way that we do life and the way we react to people and the way we process things and the attitudes that we have. There's this life that Jesus lives, described in Galatians as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, that doesn't describe something you're trying to be or trying to do. It's the fruit of the Spirit. See, we're branches. Christ is the vine. And the life of the vine flows out through the branches. It's not our role to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's our part as branches to bear the life of the vine, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural. It's the life that Jesus lives. And when Jesus lives his life through us, the way that he lives, it comes out, what you'll experience is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I remember a time in my life when someone that was significant to me that were really mistreating me. Now, if you don't try to imagine who that might be, because none of you ever would imagine, it's someone that none of you know. They were a part of my life many years ago. But they were really mistreating me, and I was struggling with it. And I found myself mulling over it over and over again in my mind, trying to figure out what I can do to please this person so I could fix it, so I would be in their good favor again, because they were important to me. But the result of it not working, that there was nothing I could do, I found myself being resentful in my heart. And finally one day, I just told the Lord, I don't know what else to do. And then the Lord spoke in me, because Christ is in me. And the Holy Spirit spoke the voice of the Lord in me. Because the Holy Spirit's role in you is to teach you all things. He's the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the truth. And the Holy Spirit teaches us all things Jesus. He teaches us how to participate and live from our union with Christ. So the voice of the Holy Spirit makes real to us the voice of Christ. And I heard the Lord say in me, why don't we just love that person more? I thought, wow, what? They've really mistreated me and they've really hurt me. But you see, Jesus doesn't live hurt with people. Jesus lives hurting for people, but he doesn't take things personally and live hurt with people. He doesn't hurt for himself. He hurts for others. And when you're living from Christ, the way of life that he lives, he's teaching you how to participate in his life and the way he lives, and you'll find yourself not being hurt for yourself when people mistreat you, but being hurt for them, because they're hurting you out of their own brokenness, and that's the tragedy of the story, not you being hurt, unless you allow yourself to be hurt, allow yourself to walk around hurt and offended, then you're living in self-destruction. But that's not the way of life that Jesus lives. Have you ever been hurt before and you mulled over it and you had resentment? That wasn't very much fun, was it? It wasn't life, was it? It wasn't building anything in you, edifying you. Whatever wasn't edifying you, it was tearing you down. It was self-destructive. It's not the way of life that Jesus lived. His way is a narrow way, but it's a way of life. It may be narrow. In other words, you don't get to navigate, negotiate. You just get to participate in life he lives. But it leads to life. It doesn't lead to restriction. It doesn't lead to you missing out on anything. It means that you get to be involved in all that you've been included to be a part of, all that Christ is. It leads to life instead of self-destruction. Life and life more abundant Jesus came to give us. Now, that's just one example of the kind of life that Jesus lives. We'll talk more about that in the days to come. But Jesus doesn't get hurt for himself. You know, he's hurt for others because he loves them and he's concerned about their brokenness, because love doesn't seek its own and doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. So the life that Jesus lives isn't about taking into account wrong suffered. And isn't about seeking his own. Again, Jesus doesn't take it personally. He's not hurt with himself or hurt for himself. He's hurt for the one who's acting out. There's such liberation in that. Wouldn't you love to live your life never being hurt with people again? I can't promise you that you won't be hurt by people. But even being hurt by them, you don't have to live hurt with them. And when they hurt you, instead of you being hurt with them and full of self-destructive anger and resentment and all kinds of stuff, you instead, wanting to distance yourself, not have anything to do with them, instead you find yourself, because of the hurt, participating in the life that he lives and remembering, because Jesus reminds you, this is the way he thinks, you're living from the mind of Christ, they did what they did because of their own brokenness. Let's just love them more. Wow. All resentment goes away. All anger goes away. You know, all obsession about it goes away. You just find yourself loving them more. What freedom. What wonder. What if you, and we don't have time to do this. We'll talk about this tomorrow. What about your workplace? How difficult is it? Do people mistreat you? Do you find it hard? What if you were to so experience the way of life that Jesus lives that you become a source of the light of the world shining from you because you're not taking personally what they're doing or saying. It's not affecting you all at all. It's not affecting you coming into your job joyfully with your whole heart and loving them even more, revealing Christ to them, because that's your calling. All of us, our identity is that we're in Christ, and our calling is to manifest the sweet aroma of the likeness of him in every place, easy places and hard places. Okay? Well, we'll jump back into this tomorrow and particularly talk about, give you more specifics, how do you deal with a difficult work environment, working with difficult people? Can you know freedom there? Can you experience a way of life that brings life to you, even though they may all be manifesting and experiencing spiritual death? Okay? Have a great afternoon and evening. God bless you.